Today, I would like to speak about faith. I call this message Faith Beyond the Horizon. Today, I want to talk about the faith of Abraham and the result of his complete trust in the Lord. So, let's start with the calling of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12 begins with the story of the great calling of God to the great man of God who was able to change the world. Let us open Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through verse 4. Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Then Adonai said to Abram, "Get going out from your land, and from your relatives, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great so that you may be a blessing. My desire is to bless those who bless you, but whoever curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." And verse 4. So Abram went, just as Adonai had spoken to him. Also Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. What a story! Abram was so humble and so faithful. His story is the story of the life led by the purpose of God. Lord knows our human weaknesses. He knew that Abram would never have become Abraham if he had stayed in his home. Abram would have learned to trust God if he had stayed with his relatives. He would never learn how to trust God because he would have always been guided by their gods and humbled by their influence over his life. So he entered into a new life, the only foundation of which was his faith and relationship with God, who called himself his friend. Through his faith and trust in the Lord, Abraham met the Messiah and received a blessing from him. So let's read a passage from today's Torah chapter about a very interesting man whose name was Melchizedek. So Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 through verse 20. Genesis 14, 17 through 20. Now after he returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, it is about Abraham, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh. This is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of El Elyon. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by El Elyon, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be El Elyon who gave over your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. I wonder who Melchizedek, king of Salem, was. The name Melchizedek, Malkitzedek in Hebrew, is the king of righteousness. And Salem means shalom. In other words, his full name is king of righteousness and king of shalom, high priest of most high God, Elyon. Who can be the king of righteousness and the king of shalom besides the Messiah? It is his title. I want to show one exciting psalm that reveals to us who Melchizedek or Malkitzedek was. King David had the same understanding of him. And it is in Psalm 110. Let us open Psalm 110. It is an incredible psalm. A psalm of David. Adonai declares to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Adonai will extend your mighty rod from Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will be a freewill offering in a day of your power, in holy splendors. From Dawn's womb, yours is the dew of your youth. And verse 4. Adonai has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a Kohen, priest, forever according to the order of Melchizedek. My Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. I love this verse. Adonai declares to my Lord. It's verse 1. Adonai declares to my Lord. So Adonai, the Lord, declares to the Lord. And of course we know the Father declares to his Son, Yeshua. It is a messianic prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. In the letter to the Hebrews, it is more detailed about who Melchizedek or Malchizedek was. Let us open Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5 and verse 6. Hebrews 5, 5 and 6. So also Messiah did not glorify himself to be made Kohen Gadol, high priest. Rather, it was God who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in a different passage, "You are a Kohen, a priest, forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And let us continue with chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 through verse 9. Hebrews 7, 1 through 9. For this Melchizedek was king of Salem, Kohen or priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And to him Abraham appointed a tenth of everything. First, by the translation of his name, he is king of righteousness. And then also king of Salem, which is king of Shalom. Without father, and let us read carefully, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like Ben Elohim, son of God, he remains the Kohen, the priest, for all time. Verse 4. Now see how great this man is. Even Abraham, the patriarch, gave him a tenth out of the plunder. Now it is beyond dispute that the lesser is blessed by the greater. In one case, dying men receive tithes, but in other, one about whom it is testified that he lives on. Through Abraham, even Levi, the one receiving tithes, he paid the tithe, so to speak. Can you imagine? Abraham, who was the father of the Jewish people and the father of all priesthoods from the tribe of Levi, gave a tithe of everything to the one who has no mother, no father, no date of birth, no genealogy, and who remains the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, forever. Who can it be? When humanity was corrupted and sinful, the Lord found one faithful person named Abraham, and the King Messiah came to bless him. And ever since that time, Abraham became a blessing to the nations, a man of God, and a friend to God. His life is an example for nations to follow. Thanks to Abraham, the world is forever changed. Do you remember this place of scripture? My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great, so that you may be a blessing. Abraham's calling is to be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth and a guide of God's will for every person and an example to follow. But there is another significant promise that the Lord makes to Abraham. Let us open Genesis chapter 13 and let us see this passage of scripture. Genesis 13 verse 16. It is the promise from the Lord, from Adonai, to Abraham. I will make your seed like the dust of the earth, so that if one could count the dust of the earth, then your seed could also be counted. The Lord tells him that no one can count his offspring because it will be as many as there are grains of sand on the earth. But we can know that the people of Israel are far from the most numerous nations of the earth. We know it. If it is so, what kind of offspring does the Lord speak about? So, in order to find the answer, let's read one fascinating passage from the Torah, which gives us an interesting explanation of this statement. Genesis chapter 17, verse 3 through verse 5. It is an answer. Genesis 17, 3 through 5. Abram fell on his face, and God spoke with him, saying, "For my part, because my covenant is with you, you will be father, the father of a multitude of nations. No longer will your name be Abram, but your name will be Abraham, because I make you the father of a multitude of nations." Twice in the same place of scripture, multitude of nations. And again, multitude of nations. Imagine, here the Lord is already saying that Abraham will be the father of many nations. It turns out that the calling of Abraham and God's plans for his future far exceeded all possible ideas, understandings, and dreams of Abraham. When Abraham answered the Lord, "Yes, yes, Lord," and followed him, he could not even imagine that what his trust in God would lead to and what a great calling would be on him. Remember what the Lord told him. Genesis chapter 15, an incredible place of scripture, 5 and 6. Genesis 15, verse 5 and 6. This is an important moment in the life of Abraham. The Lord took him outside and said, "Look up now at the sky and count the stars. If you are able to count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your seed be." Then Abraham believed in Adonai, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. The Lord had to take Abraham out of his tent, from his usual place, to expand his vision, his trust, his faith. When Abraham raised his head and saw the stars, he heard the voice of God in his heart and accepted his words, and only then could he fully trust the Lord. So it looks like Abraham had to walk before the Lord for many years before he was able to trust fully and became righteous. How often does the Lord want us to come out of our tent, our very narrow and limited perception of the Lord? Our tent is our life, our ideas, and our limited faith. We have limited faith. But only when we lift our heads to the stars, having heard the voice of God, when we look at the sky and not at our tent, only then will we be able to believe in the omnipotence of the Lord. Our Lord, He is great. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent, not limited by anything or anyone. He can do everything, and we need to believe and trust him completely as Abraham did. Imagine, Abraham had already followed the Lord for many years, served him with his life, paid the price, gave up everything for God's sake, but was still unable to trust completely. It took a long time until Abraham raised his eyes to the stars and stopped looking at his tent, at himself, at his strengths, his limitations, his weaknesses and defeats of the past, at his experience. At that moment, chapter 15, something switched in Abraham's heart and mind, and he truly believed. And only then was his faith credited to him as righteousness. So it is his trust that made him righteous. And it is not different for us. Again, Genesis chapter 15, let us read together verse 6 one more time. Genesis 15 verse 6. Then Abraham believed in Adonai, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. He saw God, believed him, trusted in his omnipotence, and ceased to be limited and weak. Abraham, through his faith, opened the way for the Lord to move in his life and fulfill the impossible. So Abraham became the father of multitude nations, of many nations. He became the father of Isaac, the father of the Jewish people. And also Abraham became the spiritual father for all people who believe in Yeshua, the Messiah. I would like to open Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 through verse 9. It is a very important place of scripture to remember. Galatians 3, 6 through 9. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, know then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. The scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, proclaimed the good news to Abraham in advance, saying, all the nations shall be blessed through you. So then, the faithful are blessed along with Abraham, the faithful one. And again, know then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Everyone who has faith. A significant statement of the Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul, that believers are the children of Abraham. Abraham indeed became the father of many nations, and a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Therefore, Abraham's calling and blessing are much larger and broader than people can even imagine, can think. But it is essential to understand and realize that during his life on this earth, Abraham never saw the fulfillment of this calling, this promise that the Lord gave him. So I want to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9, and verse 10, two verses. Verse 8 and verse 10. Hebrew 11, 8 and 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. And verse 10. For he was waiting for the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. It was only many years later that this promise began to be fulfilled in its fullness. How many descendants of Isaac, the sons of Israel today? No one can count the number of people who believe in Jesus, Yeshua, and through Yeshua in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So great is our God. And how great are his plans on this earth. And it is very important to remember. We need to remember that the Lord's plans thousands of years when he gives us a calling. And we need to understand how much depends on our obedience to him. Friends, when you say yes to the Lord and follow him by faith, follow his calling, it may seem to you that nothing is happening. The day changes to another, and you continue your ministry without seeing anything. Please remember that the Lord thinks for thousands of years ahead about your children, the grandchildren of those people you have served and for whom you have become a blessing. Therefore, I want to talk about a fundamental issue now. The uniqueness of Abraham's calling is that it includes all the peoples of the earth. To some extent, Abraham's calling is God's way of restoration and healing for this divided world, which is divided at building the Babylonian Tower. Do you remember this story? Because of their pride and rebellion, the Lord confused people, and they were divided into different languages and people groups. And now, because of Abraham's faith, his obedience, and humbleness, all people can be united under Messiah Yeshua. Every person who accepts Yeshua by faith, the Jewish Messiah, becomes the spiritual son of Abraham. This raises an essential question: what Jewish messianic synagogues are? Today we have hatred and war between the brothers, unfortunately, between sons of Abraham. The Lord has a much broader calling for us than we can imagine. He wants to bring unity and restoration through the faith in Yeshua, the Messiah, through the calling of Abraham, which is the faith, trust in God. I would like to read two places of scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Messiah and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. How great is our God! Through faith of Abraham, we have the ministry of reconciliation through Messiah, in Messiah Yeshua. The Messianic synagogue has a unique place in the heart of the Lord. It is a place for the Jewish people to come. It is the spiritual home, a spiritual flock. And it is also a spiritual home for people from all the nations of the earth who accepted the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaiah chapter 56, one of the most important and obvious prophecies about our days, about Messianic movement. Isaiah 56, verse 6 and verse 7. And you can find yourself in these verses. It is a blessing for us. Verse 6. Also the foreigners, or people from all the nations, who joined themselves to Adonai to minister to him, and to love the name of Adonai, and to be his servants. All who keep from profaning Shabbat, and hold fast to my covenant, this I will bring to my holy mountain, and let them rejoice in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. And let us read the fulfillment of the prophecy from Isaiah. Fulfillment is in John chapter 10, verse 16. This is the words of Yeshua, the Messiah, the one who came to fulfill Abraham's calling. John 10, 16. I have other sheep that are not from this fold, from people from all the nations. Those also I must lead, and they will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd, Yeshua. When we sing Jewish songs, read the Torah, celebrate Shabbat in the synagogue, we return to the apostles' time, to the first Messianic church, or call it Messianic congregation, or Messianic synagogue, the early Messianic community. Unfortunately, most of Christianity has wandered far from the Jewish roots of the Bible, observing many traditions which have no Bible foundation. As a young developing religion, Christianity became alienated from its Jewish roots. It began to claim ownership of the rights to be the blessings God had promised to Israel, and by extension, the apostles and the Messiah himself. Although its roots lie in Judaism, council after council, priests were forbidden to mention Jewish origin, the Jewish Messiah, the Jewish Word of God, the Jewishness of apostles, biblical Jewish holidays. They tried to cancel everything Jewish, Jewish songs, Jewish biblical holidays, and the simplicity of worship have gone from the church. But today, all over the face of the earth, we are now witnessing tremendous transformations. We see the restoration of an awareness of the richness of the Jewish heritage that has been ignored for so many centuries. And an essential part of this restoration is the birth of the Jewish Messianic communities. We are now engaged in restoring the Jewish Messianic community, which we read about in the book of Acts. We are rebuilding a community in which Jews and non-Jews can worship together and serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a prophetic thing. Through the ministry of the Messianic communities, we show this Messiah to our people of Israel, the Messiah who was sent to the Jewish people, who was, who is, and will always be. His name, Yeshua. The name which the angel revealed to his family, the name which his parents called him, his brothers, and all the Jews, the only name by which man can be saved. That name means salvation, Yeshua. We are a bridge between two banks, the Jewish world and the non-Jewish world. Together, believers in Yeshua make up the Ecclesia. The body of the Messiah. Remember that we are all children of Abraham. Thank you so much for your attention. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel, and we will return to Brian and Diane's home for a final song. So let us pray together. Let us stay as a mishpacha and pray together. Yevrecha Adonai veishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.